was a man who was very used to trouble. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, he said, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." They're waiting me. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now in Acts chapter 21, a prophet, one who could foretell the future, whose name was Agabus, made this prophecy regarding Paul. Look in verse 10 of Acts 21. "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, here's a completely human response. I certainly understand it. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. If you go there, look what's going to happen. Stay away from there. And here's how Paul responded, verse 13. "Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Now remember, Paul didn't count his life dear to himself. We just read that. He really didn't. "I don't count my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy." Paul said, "I am ready. I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die for the name of the Lord Jesus." Is Christ not worthy of that readiness? I have entitled this message, "I Am Ready." I am ready. Now, what does it mean to be ready? Being ready is the opposite of being unprepared. For instance, when I preach, I prepare for it. I don't come up here unprepared. I seek a message from the Lord. I study. I pray for the Lord's help and blessing. And by His grace, I don't want to come up here unprepared. Whether or not it's blessed is up to Him. That's out of my hands. That's out of my control. But I am to always be prepared. And may God deliver me from ever daring to come up here without giving it my best, being prepared. That's so important to me, to be prepared and ready. Now, when we are ready and prepared, there has been forethought. There has been planning. There has been preparation. Now, everything God does is what He prepared to do. He never reacts. Man, we react so often, don't we? We react. Somebody says something, we react. We respond. God never does. He's never reacted to anything. He only acts. He never responds. He says, "I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I also will do it." That is the God of the Bible. He's always prepared. And on Judgment Day, He'll say to every one of His people, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you." Turn with me to Matthew 24 for a moment. Matthew 24. Verse 42. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken. Therefore be ye also ready." Now this is what he says to every one of his people. "Be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now this thing of being ready, what is it? Paul said, "I am ready." And I want to be able to say this. I want the grace to be able to say the same thing Paul did. I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. Is he not worthy of that? Is he not infinitely worthy of that? You know he is. And every believer in this room wants to have this preparedness, this readiness, the same readiness Paul did. Now, the first thing I want to say about being ready, this thing of being ready, is by grace. The only way me or you will be ready is if the grace of God enables us to. Now, you're there in Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 25. This will show us this. Matthew 25, verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, their profession, but they took no oil with them." They were unprepared, weren't they? "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." And I have no doubt that that oil represents the grace of the Holy Spirit. You have a profession and you have the grace of the Holy Spirit. "Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." This shows how that naturally there was no difference between the wise and foolish. They all slumbered. They all slept. "And at midnight, there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready." What was the difference? The grace of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. That's what that oil represents. They all had lamps. They all had professions. Only the 5 had the oil. "They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh.'" Now turn over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. This shows us just how much this readiness is of grace. Verse 6. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.'" Now how'd she make herself ready? "And to her was granted, graciously bestowed, given. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Here's her readiness. This beautiful garment she had on. The righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness of the saints. It's not some righteous deed she did. It's the perfect merits of Christ given to her. And that made her ready. I'm ready. You know, if the Lord comes, I'm ready. Being clothed in Christ's righteousness, what else do I need? I am ready. This thing of being ready is by grace. Now, what is it that will make somebody ready for the return of Christ, ready for judgment day? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." Does that make you ready? I'm ready. And I'm not boasting in it. I know it's the gift of His grace. I know it's because He's made me ready. But I am ready. I can say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Wouldn't it be wonderful if He came tonight? I'm ready. I'm ready. In Christ, I am ready. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, how in the world do you sanctify God? By regarding Him as holy. You can't make Him holy. You can't set Him apart to be holy, but you can regard Him as holy in your heart. "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready." There it is. "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you. And you do this with meekness and with fear." Always be prepared to give an answer. Now, one thing that's implied by that, and you can't escape this really. It's never happened to me. I don't remember if it has, but we ought to be conducting ourselves in such a way that people see us and see our attitude, our graciousness, our merciful attitude, our submission to providence, our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be conducting ourselves in such a way that somebody says, "What's the reason for the hope in you? What is it that causes you to be that way?" You know, I see people in here that, I'd ask you that. Always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. You want to know what my hope is? I have a hope. A hope is a confident expectation with regard to the future. I have a hope, a sure hope, that when I stand before God in judgment, He's going to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the reason I have that hope is if He says that to Christ, He says it to me. I have a hope that all my sins are forgiven. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's my hope. Verse 22, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Now here's my hope. You want to know what my hope is? My hope of being saved. My hope of being accepted by God. It's because Christ Himself bare my sins in His own body on the tree and put them away. That we, being dead to sin, what does sin have to say to me? Nothing. You see, I'm not guilty. Christ bore my sin. He put them away. I have no sin. I'm dead to sin. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if God says for me to reckon myself to be dead indeed in sin, it's because I am indeed dead to sin. Sin has nothing to say to me. That seems too good to be true, doesn't it? But it's true. It's the gospel. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He made me to be dead to sin. Look what it says next. By whose stripes you were healed. Doesn't say by whose stripes you are healed, but it says you were healed. That healing took place by what Christ did without reference to anything you do. Is that good news? Is that a hope? Oh, that's the hope that's in me. If anybody asks me, what's your hope? It's easy to answer that. It's Christ stood in my place. My sin became His. He bore my sins by His stripes, by His death. I'm healed. When He was raised again, I was justified. It's real easy to give my hope. It's Christ only. Always be ready to give every man that asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. Look in Romans 1. Verse 13. Paul says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I've purposed to come unto you, but was hindered, let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, also even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." I am ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel. Now, there's a whole lot of folks who are ready to preach. I mean, just a lot of them. We're ready to give them an opportunity. I'm ready. I'm ready. I've seen that so much. I'm ready. It's one thing to be ready to preach, but it's a totally different thing to be ready to preach the gospel. The gospel of God. Look what he says in verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." And he identifies exactly what that gospel is, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel of the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel I'm ready to preach. Look in verse 16, what he says right after he says, "As much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And you know, I'm not either. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm proud of it. It's a gospel worthy of God. It's a gospel that's altogether glorious. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. Now this righteousness of God that he speaks of, that's revealed in the gospel, that righteousness of God, the righteousness of God, however you want to say it, that's my righteousness. Every believer is the very righteousness of God. I'm looking at some people right now who literally, truly are the very righteousness of God. Now that's the gospel that I'm ready to preach, that gospel that shows the righteousness of God. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Verse 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to submit to authority, to obey magistrates, to be ready," to be ready, to be prepared, with a forethought, with purpose, "to be ready to every good work." And for me to be ready for every good work, I'm going to have some kind of understanding of what a good work is. Now, what is a good work? Well, I know what comes to my mind, first thing I think of, is that woman with that alabaster box of ointment that broke it on the Lord's head and let it pour all over him to anoint his body to the barrel. And that's the only thing our Lord ever called a good work. Throughout his earthly ministry, he said, "She hath wrought a good work upon me." Now, you want to know what a good work is? A good work is anything done for His glory, for His sake, out of love to Him, out of obedience to Him, anything done for His glory, anything done for Christ's sake, anything you do for Christ's sake, men won't know about it, but it doesn't matter. He knows about it, and He calls it a good work. Now, good works. I know this. If I have any good works, it's only because the grace of God caused me to have them. We are His workmanship, Scripture says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I want to walk in good works, don't you? For the glory of Christ. You know, the Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven. Now, if I'm wanting to have good works to glorify myself, they're evil works. But if I'm truly wanting His glory, you know, the Scripture actually says, be zealous of good works. I'm zealous. Do I feel like I have good works? Not really. Not really. I can look at everything about me and I can tear it up and you can too. But I'm zealous of good works. I want to have them for the glory of Christ. And He says, be ready. Be ready to every good work for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are we ready? How are we prepared for good works? Well, first we ask for grace for good works. Lord, give me the grace to walk in good works, works that honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and by looking for opportunities for good works. I'm to look for them. Well, I don't do that much, do you? I mean, I see the Scripture like this, and it makes me realize how little I... May God give me the grace from here on out to be ready to every good work. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, high opinions of themselves, nor trust in uncertain riches. You know, riches are so uncertain, aren't they? I dare say about everybody in here has lost quite a bit of money this year. Riches are so uncertain. Certainly nothing to be trusted. But here's who we're to trust in: the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to give, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold upon eternal life. Now, this thing of giving, be ready, be prepared. Make this your purpose. That's not just talking about what you give and put back in that box. It's talking about giving of yourself. But it's also talking about giving financially, giving of our time, giving of our efforts. Be ready to give. Be prepared. Now here's the one I want to close with and spend a few minutes on this one. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse 6. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, Paul knew he was going to be martyred very soon. As a matter of fact, this is his last letter. He knows he's going to die. And he calls his death a departure. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Now here is a man who is ready to die. He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready. And he gives three reasons as to why he was ready to die. He said, here's why I'm ready to die. Bring it on. Bring it on. And here's why I'm ready to die. First, because I have fought a good fight. Second, because I finished my course.
Third, because I have kept the faith. Now, how does that make you feel when you hear him say that? He said, I fought a good fight. I'm ready to die. I can look at my fight and I'm ready to die. Now, here's the first way I understand that. And you've got to get here first. If Christ fought a good fight, I did too. He fought a good fight. And if he fought a good fight, I fought a good fight. And because of that good fight, I'm ready to die. This can first only be understood in light of union with Christ, because I don't think anybody here feels like you can look back at your life and say, boy, I've done really well. I'm ready for judgment. I mean, bring it on. No, if he fought a good fight, I fought a good fight. And this is what the scripture actually teaches. Whatever he did, I did. When he kept the law, I kept the law. When he died, I died. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. And this really is my hope of being able to say, I fought a good fight. Because if Christ fought a good fight, I did too. I am united to him. And whatever he did, I did. But Paul is also saying, I'm looking over my life. Now this fight, it means two things, this word fight. First, it means an athletic contest called a fight. Like a sometimes translated a race, an athletic contest. And it also refers to conflict. Now, I fought a good fight, Paul said, in the sense that I've kept the rules of the race. Look, you're there in 2 Timothy, look in chapter 2. Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Lawfully. In this sense, in fighting this fight, this athletic contest, I've kept the rules. In this sense, I've preached the gospel. I've depended totally on the Lord. I've not looked at myself for a thing. That's the only way somebody can preach, by keeping the rules in that sense. But it also means a conflict. And I want you to think of what a conflict it is to be a believer. There's the flesh, there's the world, and there's the devil. And what a conflict that is. There's such a conflict in my own heart. Me? How could you think something like that and be a believer? How could you do something like that and be a believer? You're such a hypocrite. You're so inconsistent. You know, every man is such a contradiction. Every one of us. We say one thing, we do another. What conflict there is in the flesh. Well, I'm looking forward to getting rid of this. I surely am. What a glorious day. But what conflict there is. Conflict with the world, this world that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Conflict with the devil. You have an adversary. Peter says, your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, we have a conflict. We have a fight. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. Now, how could he say that? Paul is saying, I'm looking over my life. Here's what he's saying. I'm looking back. First, he's saying this thing, if Christ fought a good fight, I did. But he's also saying, I'm looking over my life without regrets. My life, by grace, is not wood, hay, and stubble, but gold and silver and precious stones. You know, nobody on their deathbed will regret trusting Christ too completely, will they? They will never regret living too much for His glory. And they will never regret commending Him too much to others. Now, Paul wasn't talking about the legacy he's leaving. You know, people talk about wanting to leave a legacy. And, you know, honestly, I don't care a thing about leaving a legacy. I mean, in the sense that I'm going to be dead. I don't care. You know, I mean, I'll be in glory. I'll be in the presence of Christ. I won't be worried about anything happening down here. You know, I mean, I hope it goes well with you if I go before you, but I won't be thinking about you. You know, as far as the, you know, this thing of leaving a legacy. People want to leave a legacy. But this is also true. I don't want to look over my life regretting the way I've served Christ. I don't want my life to be filled with regret. I read the story of a young man who was going to be a missionary, and his parents were against it. But he went off anyway, a man in his 20s. Wasn't married, didn't have any kids, went off to be a missionary. And I don't remember where it was, but within 3 weeks, he caught some kind of disease that was in that land that he didn't have the antibiotic, whatever it is you had to have to protect him from it, and he died 3 weeks later. And his parents were crushed, and his dad went over to get his remains. And he was looking at his belongings. He was thumbing through, and he picked up his Bible, and he opened it up. And that young man wrote in his Bible, "No reserve, no retreat, and no regrets." Wasted life? No. 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 Oh, would to God that that could summarize the me and you. No reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. I don't want to be one of these people who, when they die, you know you can't see into their heart and you don't know what was really there, but you wonder about it. You wonder, did they really know the Lord? It sure didn't seem like it the way they conducted themselves. Did they really know the Lord? And you just don't know. I don't want to be somebody like that. I want to be somebody who, he knew the Lord. He believed the gospel. There wasn't any question about that. And I think that's what Paul's talking about when he's saying, I fought a good fight. I want to fight a good fight in that sense, don't you? I don't want to have regrets. He says, I finished my course. Now we all have a race to run. God has given you a specific race to run. Paul said, I finished my course. Now we know what that course was because he already said in Acts 20, 24, he said, the ministry which I've received, neither count I my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now that was his course. That's my course. That's your course. It's to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We've got a course to run, and we are to finish it. Looking unto Jesus, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He says, I finished my course, so I'm ready to die. And then thirdly, he said, I've kept the faith. I've kept it. There's something in the scripture called the definite article, the faith. It's the faith of God's elect. It's the common faith. It's the faith that all believers have and possess. And Paul says, I've kept it. First of all, I believed. I believe the gospel. You know, I do. I believe the gospel. I'm relying on what the faith is, that Christ Jesus is all in salvation. I'm relying on that. I've kept the faith. Secondly, I've guarded the faith in the sense that, you know, if you love the Lord, you love His truth, and you can't bear anything that's said contrary to it. You can't stand that. David said, I esteem all thy precepts in all things to be right. And I hate every false way. If you keep the faith, that means you guard over the faith. You don't want anything to be changed. You want it exactly as the Lord delivered it. You want to be faithful to His Word, don't you? That's what it is to keep the faith. And by his grace, you're faithful. I've kept the faith. By his grace, he's enabled me to be faithful, to continue in the faith. And then he says in verse 8, henceforth, now I'm ready to die. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, I love his appearing. I love his first appearing when he became a man. I love the appearing that he has right now as my high priest and intercessor. I love it. I love the thought of him representing me. It just gives me such confidence. And I love, I'm going to love his appearing when he shall come with trumpet sound, when every eye is going to see him, when he's going to come like lightning, lighting across the sky. And here he comes. I love his appearing. So this crown of righteousness that Paul has, you know who else has it? Everybody who loves his appearing. And you know who that is? Every believer. It's not one crown that one's going to have that somebody else doesn't have. We all have the same crown, the crown of righteousness. Now, what inspired this message was it just moved me when I was reading Acts 21, where Paul said, I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to have that same attitude, don't you? I want that readiness. Ready by grace to suffer for his name's sake. Ready to give an answer to everybody that asks me, a reason for the hope that's in me. Ready to preach the gospel. Ready to every good work. Ready to give. And ready to die. Let's pray.